So, at the end of last week's year, a brief review about the topic that we talked about last week. We're going to sort of continue a little bit with the topic this week, but we'll just bring everybody back up to speed. So, there are actually two people who sent me emails afterwards to ask an important question on last week's year, which many postkin have dealt with. Last week we learned the idea that the Gemara has exubers enough. Kimel Amid Alf, the Gemara says, again, Umiya Kamide Dimidaraisa Lola have a get. How could there be a scenario that as far as the Torah is concerned, the couple is still married? Midaraisa, the get is not a good get. Because Midaraisa, we're going to say, Yesh Onus Begin, that if a man gives his wife a divorce on the condition that I don't show up in 12 months, and he doesn't show up in 12 months, but he doesn't come because of an onus, so Midaraisa really wanted to come. So really we should say he was not a kind in tonight. He didn't fulfill his condition because he wanted to come, but he was in the hospital. What can he do? He couldn't come. That's not cool that he was Mekayim and Hayish. Onus Begin. So the get really should not be a good get. So as far as the Torah is concerned, onus means that the get is not a good get. And therefore, as far as the Torah is concerned, they're still married. So the Gemara wanted to know, Omiya, how could you have a scenario, the Midarais, the Lola, Havigita, that as far as the Torah is concerned, it's not a good get, and Mishum Tsinuos, and Mishum Prutsus, Charmin, and Eshe Sesh Alam. And the Gemara just had concerns that the reason the rabbis are going to come along and say they're divorced, because the rabbis were, but the Tsinuos and the Prutsus, not the time to go into right now, but the rabbis had their considerations, whatever those considerations were, and the rabbis said, in this particular case, we're going to say the marriage is no longer a marriage. So how can you say that? The Torah says you are married, and the rabbis say you're not married. So the Gemara says, yes, call the Mekadesh, Adai to the Rabbanah Mekadesh, anyone who marries. That's why when we get married, we say, Hareyat Mekadesh Asli, the Tabas, Zo, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. By saying those words, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, like Tosa says, by saying those words, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, that's the one line Tosa that you have on the sheet over there, Adai to the Rabbanah Mekadesh, Lachain Omer Mishas Kedush, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So by saying those magic words that I'm marrying you on the condition that the rabbis agree, so therefore, what I'm basically saying is that I'm giving the rabbis the right to say whenever they don't like the marriage, they can rip up the marriage. Unbelievable. So the Torah, as far as the Torah is concerned, they're still married, but the rabbis have a right to uproot the Kiddushin. Call them a Kaddish and that, the Rabban Kaddish, Vavki in a Rabban Kiddushin, Mine, the rabbis uprooted the marriage from him. So, last week's shiur, we discussed how exactly that works. Are they married retroactively? We discussed a number of things. So just the one thing I wanted to just begin this week's shiur was a question that was raised to me by two of the people in the shiur, neither of them are here now, but they raised me the question last week. So, you know, the question, and some know that some rabbis have wanted to use this principle to save the plight of the modern-day aguna. To say something along the lines of that, let's say if a man refuses to give his wife a get, so why don't we say that similar like we saw, like I quoted a Gemara last week in Baba Basra, like if a man forces his wife to marry her, right? Man puts a gun, right? We had the case in Baba Basra, you may remember that case. So Gemara in Baba Basra had a case where, right, the Gemara said in Baba Basra, tell you of a Kaddish, Kiddushah, Kiddushin, right? If you take a gun to her, you really like the girl. You just don't think she really likes you that much. So you want to marry her, so you take a gun and put a gun to a girl's head and you say, I'd like you to marry me, please. If not, I'm going to shoot you. So, here we are. So I'm addressing your question, Dr. Yitzchak. So we learned last week that tell you of a Kaddish Kiddush of Kiddushin, that really on a Torah level, really the marriage works, because we have this idea that Agav Unse Gamor Machni, that if a person forces somebody into something, so they really want it. They don't really want it, but you bet they want it. So that's considered wanting it. That's when you have a gun to your head and you want, that's considered, you really want it. You want it because of the gun, but you really want it. So Ma'abar Rash says, well, B'ishavadi Kiddushin Lohavi, it doesn't work. Who also Shaloka Hogan, since he behaved like not nice, since he behaved in a way that he shouldn't behave. So the rabbis are Mafkir the Kiddushin for him. So whoever misbehaves, Afkir the Rabban the Kiddushin Mine, like it sounds like from the Gemara, like, if you misbehave, so the rabbis uproot the marriage. And that's it. So you force the woman to marry you. Yeah, it's true, on a level of Dorais, it's a good marriage. But the rabbis penalize you. So the question was raised to me, Dr. Melman and Mr. Hershkowitz, I don't know. Say, raised both after the shiur, said, you know, why isn't this a good solution to the modern day aguna crisis? Here's a guy, a bum. He doesn't want to give his wife a get. And So why don't we just say to the guy, you know, that's it. You're behaving not nice. Like the Gemara Bava Basra says, you behave not nice to a woman, we'll throw the marriage away. So why don't we say nowadays the same thing? The guy's not behaving nicely to his wife, so let the rabbi, instead of, don't worry about it, get, no get, just let the rabbis uproot the marriage. For different ways, right? Some people want to suggest that based on mekach tos, right? It's a mistaken sale. Because had I known the guy would be such a gold b'chai, I never would marry in the first place, which of course, basically, if you take it to its logical conclusion, there would be no institution that's get anymore, right? Because you wouldn't need a get ever. There's no, right? So, you know, just say, anybody who never would have given a get, I never would have married him in the first place. So by definition, anytime I want to get divorced, I never would have married him in the first place. I know the guy. I don't want to marry him now. I know now what I would have known before, and I never would have married the guy in the first place. So just uproot the whole thing, either with Kiddush and Tos. So I just wanted to begin by pointing out to you that there was an article in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society that discusses this. And it's volume 36, Rabbi Malinowitz, who, if I'm not mistaken, is now one of the big rabbis in Ramat Beit Shemesh. At this time, he was in Muncie. So he wrote an article here, and he quotes, Mekach Tos is much more involved, but Arsig is Afkin Rabban L'Kiddush Minei. So he points out that the rabbis were very loath to use this principle. He has many maracolos, like 10 or 20 of them, where basically there are only 5 cases in Shas where the Gemara says this principle called Afkin Rabban L'Kiddush Minei. Why specifically those 5 cases? But certainly we all familiar with the fact that there are many other situations of marriage which it would be very convenient to use the principle of Afkin Rabban L'Kiddush Minei. Like let's say the case we had last week. Let's say Cohen marries a divorcee. Cohen marries a Grushin, right? He's doing something that he's not allowed to do. So why don't we just say whatever you do in Avera, boom, Afkin Rabban L'Kiddush Minei, right? You certainly weren't Mekadesh Al Das Hachamim. You certainly aren't doing something the rabbis are happy with, or other cases. We'll see. So I just have for you here just 2 small examples, but there are many. For whatever reason, again, I'm not sure everyone's going to be satisfied with this answer. You know, honestly, I wasn't 100% satisfied with it either. Just give you one example from the Tshuva Sarashpa. Right. So the Tshuva Sarashpa is discussing also some case of when there was a marriage gone bad. If you force a woman to marry you, it's not, the Gemara is not trying to tell you, the Rashba says, a rule that any time in marriage you behave the way the rabbis don't want you to behave, so the rabbis just chuck the marriage. All the Rishonim have this same logic, and I guess if I'm understanding what the Rishonim are saying is that once you like expand the usage of this weapon called the Mekadesh, and that the Rabbanu Mekadesh, you know, you could really, you know, uproot the whole institution of divorce and uproot many marriages. And how do you decide, you know, whether somebody is, whether somebody isn't? Then the question also is, who are the Chachamim nowadays? Do we have really a bezdin that we could say called the Mekadesh, that the Rabban Mekadesh, that the rabbis could uproot in this particular case, and this aguna, and that aguna? So the general rule among the Rishonim has been, Ein lecha b'chla dvar me'ela l'machrim b'feirish. She'im kein, af anonoma, she'kol she'asa shalok ha'olga b'kiddushim, lo nechash l'kiddushim. We could just say anyone who gets married in a way that they're not supposed to get married, boom, the rabbis uproot the kiddushim. So we don't understand, again, if I had to say why, I would say the reason why the Rishonim were loath to expand is because it would basically shake. I think it would give a very weak foundation to the whole matter. But I'm whether you like that reason or you don't, the facts are, whether you like that reason or you don't, the facts are that the overwhelming preponderant, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes this way, and the Shuk Malami Lahol, I mean, here he quotes a whole laundry list of people who keep repeating the same mantra. Tshuva Sarashpa, Maharik, Mahari Ben Lev, Radvaz, Shelz, Tshuva Beis Yosef, I didn't look up all of them. The Ramah says this, the Maharit, the Mabit, the Chacham Tzvi, we'll show you in a second, Lamed Lahor, Shlomo Zalman. Apparently everybody, they were loath, let's see what he says over here. Tzum Bein, I see, he quotes somebody else who makes such a suggestion. Chada, the lo b'chol makam arin afkin rabban l'kedusha minei. You can't just, arbitrarily, the Chacham says, you can't just say anywhere you want, oh, just the rabbis get rid of the marriage. Shaharei benitva b'mayim she'en lo sof. There are plenty of cases in the Gemara about Aguda. That's his raya taka. The Chacham Tzvi says all the cases in the Gemara where the Gemara has Misham Aguda. We do have this idea we should be Aguda hikelu. We do have this idea that generally we try to be lenient about Aguda, but I guess there's being lenient and there's being lenient. Like someone said, you can't just say, you know, where there's a, what was that, where there's a halachic will, there's a, what was it? Where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. I think that was it. Where there's rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. You can't just say that. That's what all the achronim throughout the generations have said. Shari benitba b'mayim she'en lo sof. That's the classic example of an aguna, that if somebody drowns, but you never get the body. You know, they just drown, and you don't know, someone just dove in, and you don't know where they came out. So, v'chulu inach, all the other cases where the Gemara talks about aguna, lo choshi rabbanu l'fkuli kedushin, the rabbis didn't just come and say, well, we'll get her out of the aguna problem just by saying the whole marriage was gone in the first place. V'gam b'mumar shekidesh, or let's say a mumar, right? There was a case where, like, a non-firm guy was mekadesh somebody. V'tuva the kavasayim. Elahicha da'asa shelo kohogin v'ikar ha'kidushin, v'kmosh kosa rashma b'tshuva elef kosam beiz, v'ein lecha bo elamasha amru chachamim b'feirish. That's the line, right? V'ein lecha bo elamasha amru chachamim b'feirish. You keep seeing the Rishonim and Achronim. I'm just showing you two cases, but this is not a weapon that the Gedolim of old generations were willing to do to help out the Agunas. The Aguna problem is a very bad problem, and it has to be dealt with and solved in the halachic ways, but the Poskim didn't want to use this. Again, I'm only suggesting why, but Uvakachas and Mordechem Shemaram, Ibi Marich, Shorosh Behei, Da'afil Ho'over Al Cherem, Derabinu Gershom, right? What's the most classic example, right? A guy violates the Cherem, Derabinu Gershom. Lo amrin afkura b'dol kudushim yinei, right? The Ma'arik writes, if a guy, married more than one wife or whatever, so now there's a big problems. So we don't just get rid of the marriage by saying afkura kudushim yinei. Da chayve lavin ushnios, right? And his raya is what we just said before, right? Chayve lavin almana l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedger. A guy marries a mamzeres. Oh, we're dealing with your question. The guy marries a mamzeres. So we don't just use this weapon of Afkina Rabbanu L'Kiddushin Minei. You could listen to it online afterwards, the last 15 minutes. The last, Dachayv Lavan Ushnios V'kama Averos Do Raisa V'Rabbanon Tafsi Kiddushin. His big proof is Chayv Lavan, right? A man marries a Mamzeres. Or Almana marries a Kohen Gadol. Grusha marries a Kohen Hedjot. Chayv Lavan Ushnios V'kama Averos Do Raisa V'Rabbanon Tafsi Kiddushin. The rabbis don't just use this weapon of uprooting marriages, even when they're violating Isurim Doraisa and Isurim Darabanan. Ayin Shem Shehera, Fafda Verivosh, Betruba Shin Saratest, Yesh Koach Bismanase, Lafki Kedushin, Ayin Bezatikra Kim Beferish. It's only where there was a specific takana to do it that way. Vaf Beze Chokha Rabba Hachan Bechol Achonuza Betruba Seim Lo Sam Kaze, Klal Dein Koach, Klal Dein Koach Bechach Mezmanenu Lafki Kedushin, Bekolshim Bemokum Deleka Mishun Megdar Milso. So, this is just one example, but there are many Rishonim and Poskim that say that to use this as a weapon to be Matzer Agunos is a very, very difficult solution. Why? We offered a suggestion, maybe because they felt that would undermine the whole institution of marriage if somebody could say anytime somebody didn't do something exactly right, so the marriage was in peril. But anyway, that's just to start off with point number one. Let's go back to the Gemara, because the Gemara then asks a very perplexing question, which is going to be the whole topic of today's shiur. So if you like to do a lot of Gemara in this shiur, so this week's shiur is not going to be for you. We're going to do one line of Gemara, but then we're going to discuss a lot about that one line of Gemara. Let's go back to the original statement of the Gemara. The Gemara says, how can it be that the Torah says they're still married, and because of a rabbinic concern, they uprooted? So the Gemara says, yes. This is one of the five places in Shas where you are allowed to use this principle called the rabbis of the condition. Now listen to the next line of the Gemara. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. So Ravina says to Ravashi, Tenach Kodesh Bekaspa. It makes sense to say the rabbis can uproot the marriage if the marriage happened with money. Which is, of course, the way we always get married nowadays, with a ring, which is Shavah Kesef. That's the value of money. So the Gemara says, it makes sense to say that the rabbis can uproot the marriage when it comes with money. Kaddish bebiya ma'ikal meimar. But you may know that the first Mishnah, Maseches Kiddushin, says there are three ways to get married. You can get married. The first Mishnah Kiddushin: Kesef, Shtar, Bia. Three ways to get married. Either you give the woman money, which is the way we do it. We don't give money. We give the value of money. We give a ring. Kesef, Shtar, you can give her a document. Not to be confused with a ksuba. This is Maseches Ksubas. That's what we're learning. But not a ksuba document. A shtar just means you could write on a piece of paper and sign in front of witnesses that Hareyam Mekudeshus leave the shtarzu. You don't have to give any value. You can just give a document. The document. And Bia means just with marital relations themselves. You could actually just have marital relations and have that count as your marriage. So there's three ways to do it. So the Gemara says, I understand how the rabbis could uproot marriage if the marriage happened with money. But Kaddish Bia, Michael, and Mema. But if the marriage happened through relations, how could the rabbis uproot such a thing? Answers the Gemara. We'll have to think for a few seconds about what that means, but the Gemara answers to this question. Shavuur Rabbanu Lebilas So Bilas Nos. The Gemara answers, well, the rabbis have the power and the right to turn your relationship, which you did for the sake of marriage, and to turn them into Znos, to turn them into extramarital relations. They just have the right to say, even though you were intending to marry her with this, the rabbis have a right to say that those relations that you had with the intent of marrying her are now considered to be a bias. So, the big question that all the Mepharshim are asking over here, Ramban's kasha really, Ramban asks, why in the world does the Gemara think that the rabbis only have the power to uproot Kedushe Kesef, and the rabbis do not have the power to uproot Kedushe Bia, especially in light of what we said in last week's shiur? Ladies and gentlemen, what did we say in last week's shiur? What exactly gives the rabbis the right to uproot the marriage? We said in last week's shiur, like Tosha says in one line. Tosha says in one line, what gives the rabbis the right to uproot? Because when you get married, you give her the ring, you say, Hare at mikudeshes libetabazu kidas Moshe of Yisrael. So you suspended the marriage on their desire. So if they want to, if they want the marriage, it works. If they don't, you'd give the woman a ring and say, Hareyam Kadesh leave it to Masala condition, and it snows tomorrow. If it snows, the marriage is good. If it doesn't snow, the marriage is good, but you can depend on, you can hang the marriage or whatever you want. So what's the difference between Kedushe Kesef and Kedushe Bia? But so before you have relations, you say, Hareyam Kadesh leave with these, but Bia Zu, Kadas Moshe of Yisrael. And if the rabbis like it, they do it. If the rabbis don't like it, if you end up giving a get in a weird way, the rabbis felt to uproot the marriage, you could uproot it. What in the world is the Gemara? The Gemara just says it like with no qualification, no explanation, or nothing. I understand how the rabbis could uproot money kedushin, but how could the rabbis uproot beer kedushin? Answer the Gemara, the rabbis made the beer the beer. So let's read Rashi. So Rashi has actually two fascinating explanations, one of which is pretty straightforward.
What's the question? The two could be reversed.
The other two could be reversed. So that's the way you want to say. Okay. Let's see if Rashi says that. It's not as it's not shyach to talk about reversing relations. How could you reverse it? And he says, okay, that's one shot. I think that's a very good shot. You might even argue that's what Rashi said. But wait till you hear what Rashi's Rebbe said. Watch this shot. Here we go. So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, let's look at the Rashi. Tainach to Kodesh Bekasva. You can look at it if you want, if it's easier for you. You have it in the Rashi. Right? Tainach. It's about 12 lines down in the Rashi. Tainach, right in the middle of the line. First word of the line is Zachariah. If you prefer the smart point, if you prefer the open time, Tainach. Gemara says, Tainach lemeimer afkata. It makes sense to explain how the rabbis could uproot the marriage. We could say that this divorce that you gave, even though midoraisa is not a good get, but the rabbis can say this is a good get. Like Dr. J said, that the osem maos matana meikaron. I understand money the rabbis can uproot because they can take the money that you gave as marriage and they could transform that money into a gift. What could they do with the bia? Say it the way Jay said it, maybe bia is not reversible. Then he has a long arichas. Look at the last line. On the next Rashi, he goes into a long arichas, which is not really so relevant to us. I understand.
אבל זה שאני גיבל את תורה עצמה שם בלי דעת, זה שאני גיבל את דעת עצמה שם בלי חרם. צורך, את לא משם לקרוא לו קדושים, והיא קדוש בביה, ואתה אוקי קדושה למפריע, if you can be מקדוש with ביה, מה תהי על ביוסו, like Jay said. מה תהי על ביוסו, the money, you can make it into a matana, but what could you make the relations into? The answer is, the rabbis have the power even to make the relations into bias nus. If you prefer Tosfos' formulation, so Tosfos says it slightly differently. Tosfos doesn't stress. Tosfos doesn't stress the issue of Tosfos doesn't stress so much that there's nothing to turn the bia into. Money, you can, it's reversible. You can turn it into something. You can turn it into a gift. But marital relations, what are you going to turn it into? So the answer is, you're right, even though you can't turn it into anything permitted, but the rabbis had the power to turn it into even something forbidden. Or you could say it in a similar way, that this is not really forbidden, since at the time you were marrying her, you were marrying her for the sake of Kiddushin. So the chiddush is that the rabbis have a right to say that since at that time you were doing it not for a forbidden reason, at that time it was good, even retroactively they can take your relations and make it into a bias nus, which would not really be usur, because at the time that you were doing it, you were really doing it with the intention of marriage. Yeah.
So can you say that the question is really when you mekadesh ayde kesef, so well, it's a financial transaction. All financial transactions are governed by bezdin, but this nus is not governed by
that's tosis. That, very good, very good, very good. That's the way tosis is. That's not quite exactly the same thing as Rashi. Right? Are we in agreement with that? I hope we are. Tainat the Kodesh Bekasli. Tosis says, I think, pretty much exactly what you said. Fantastic. Tainat the Kodesh Bekasli. You could look inside. You have the tosis over there on the side. Tainat the Kodesh Bekasli. Dehefker bezden haya hefker. That's what tosis says. Tosis says, Tainat, the lawyers understand this. Tainat the Kodesh Bekasli. Dehefker bezden haya hefker. Gentlemen, we have a principle when it comes to the rules of money. Monetary law, it's almost like the Torah has, you know, Bav Metzia, you have plenty of Torah monetary laws, but when it comes to the laws of money, the rabbis have tremendous leeway in determining what money, what the laws of money are. Even though the Torah has Parashat Mishpatim and Kisetzik, there's a lot of discussion, but it's almost like the Torah's laws are almost like just suggestions to the Chachamim, this is the way we think it should be. But if the Chachamim have a pressing reason to do something differently, they have a right to decide. That's called Hefker Bezden Hefker. Probably heard of this term. Hefker Bezden Hefker means that the Torah gives the rabbis tremendous leeway and the rights to determine ownership of things. And if they determine money goes one way, they can determine that. So Tosa says that's what the Gemara means. I understand how the rabbis have a right to turn the money into Matana because the rabbis have the power. It's not so much what are you going to turn the money into. What gives you the authority? What gives you the authority? Tainat the Kodesh Bekas, the Hefker, Bezna Haya Hefker. Vahavu Moos Matana, Umemela, Yihigal Bilosav Znus. You see, this is what Tosa is also coming to avoid. Gentlemen, if you turn the money of Kiddushin into Matana, so you have the same problem. Because now all the relations that they had afterwards when they weren't really married are still bias nus. So why is money any better than relations? What are you talking about? Oh, money, I understand the rabbis have the power to uproot. But relations, they don't. But what do you mean? And if you're mekadesh with money, there's still all the relations that you had afterwards. So Tosfos is bothered by that kasha. So Tosfos is like this. I understand hefker bezden hefker b'havos atana umemela yuhukal b'losav znus. That I understand. As long as the rabbis aren't directly attacking the relations and saying, we're going to make those relations into znus, so they can take the money and turn it into a matana. And memela, by itself, the relations will become bilas nus. But kodesh bebiya, maik lemer, eich yafkiu biya shel kiddushin. I understand how the rabbis could uproot the biya by itself, memela, because they can say the money is matana. So now all the other biyas, all the relations they have are bias nus, that they can do. But to go directly to the Bias Kiddushin and say the Bias Kiddushin is not a Bias Kiddushin, what gives the rabbis the power to do that? And in the end, he wants to say that it's based on the principle of Yesh Koch Be'achachamim, Lakar Dabar Menatoru, Hechad Delek Arveir. The Gemara answers, Omishani Shavir Abanim Be'ilosa Be'ilasnos Ve'in Kan Kiddushin. The rabbis have the power even to uproot the Bia. But the Pshat that I want to spend the most time on now...
Isn't there a Shev on Tasa at the end of that statement?
Yes. Yes, or there are other things at the end of that statement. He says, "Hain gon delek aver," but here there is an aver. So what's the answer? Lameo Mishani Shavira Bana Bilosa Bilosnus Van Kan Kedushin. How does that answer the question? It answers the question somehow the rabbis have the right to say from the beginning that the Bia is a Bilasnus. So you say that's not Sheva Al Tasa. I don't know. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. I want to focus on Rashi's Rebbe's Pshat. Rashi quotes a Pshat from his Rabbein. Watch this. Wow. This is at first glance not the kind of respect that you would think that somebody would have for his Rebbe's, but let's see. This is a very, very fascinating Rashi. It's right on the side of your page. Shamati Kol Rabosai. Shavu Rabban Lebiyas Lamafrei. They get you with very bilas nus. Vihem Kolas Shari Hu Talban. Now, Shamat. Okay. Shavu Rabban Lebiyas Lamafrei. They get you with very bilas nus. Vihem Kolas Laskein Shari Hu Talban. Now, look what he says. Shamati Kol Rabosem Beforish. Rashi says, I heard an explanation of this Gemara from all of my Rabbein. I heard an explanation of this Gemara from all my Rabbein. De Kaddish Bekaspa De Kiddushin De Rabbanon Ninu. Wow. Rashi quotes a pshat from his Rebbe's, and he says, you know why the rabbis have the rights? You know why the Gemara thought originally that the rabbis have the right to uproot marriage that's based on money, but marriage based on relations, the rabbis don't have a right to do it, is because I heard my Rebbe's explain, his Rebbe is Rabbeinu Gershom, who says like this in Baba Basra, he says, I heard my Rebbe, it's a Rashbam in Baba Basra, Rabbeinu Gershom there, my Rebbe's explain that Kiddushei Kesef is only a marriage midrabbanan. Kiddushei Kesef, marriage, all the marriages that we do nowadays, and Rashi's Rebbe seem to say, we'll see what they're really saying in a second, but Rashi's Rebbe seem to be saying that all marriage that happens nowadays that we do by Kesef, by ring, is only midrabbanan. Why is only midrabbanan? Because, gentlemen, who knows? What's the source? What's the source you can marry a woman with money? Kicha kicha mizdeyefer. What's kicha kicha misteyafron? As he's going to say in 1 second. What's kicha kicha misteyafron? So if you learned Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, so you'll know that it says in Maseches Kiddushin, because it says by Ephron buying the Maras HaMachpel, this week's parasha. It says that Ephron bought the Maras HaMachpel, it uses the word, Nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni. So you see that when you purchase something with money, it's called kicha. And when the Torah discusses marriage, it says ki yikach ish isha. I'm sorry, ki yikach ish isha. So it says kicha by marriage and kicha by buying the field of Ephron. So we see that marriage can be accomplished with money. Okay, what's this called? This is called a gzera shava. The gzera shava means anytime you have the same word in two places, so you can take the laws of one and apply it to the other. So apparently, Rashi's Rebbe's are saying, as opposed to bia, how do you learn out that you can marry a woman with bia? That it's written explicitly in the Torah. Ki yikach ish isha uve Allah. If a man shall marry a woman, so we learn out from uve Allah or Be'ulas Baal, there's two sources for it. But basically, that's written explicitly in the Chumash, and this is not written explicitly in the Chumash. It's learned with one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nedreshes Ben, right? We say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Bishloshes Rei Midos, Hatorah Nedreshem, Bikalu Chomer, Umigzera Shava. Gzera Shava, that's the second one. What's a Gzera Shava? You see one word and another word, it's a bridge to learn the halachas from one to the other. So Rashi's Rebbe seemed to be saying that a halacha that is learned out from a gzera shava is only a din. What? So Rashi goes crazy at his Rebbe's. He goes nuts. And that's pshat. And where do they get this from? Oh, that's pshat in the Gemara. I understand how rabbis can uproot a marriage that's based on money. Why? Because the marriage is based on money. It's only a marriage with the Rabbanim. So if the marriage is only a marriage with the Rabbanim, so it makes sense the rabbis can uproot. Because, hey, mamru, hey, mamru. The rabbis made the marriage, the rabbis can uproot the marriage. But maybe a marriage based on bia, which is a marriage with a Torah, so then the rabbis have no ability to uproot it. Oh, and this is the whole source. This Gemara is the source for this opinion. And Rashi says, the pshat of my Rebbe is b'mechilas kvodam. He doesn't really say b'mechilas kvodam, but he says, right, Shemati, I heard, right? And what does Rashi say about his Rebbe's pshat? V'ef shalomar king. Rashi says about his Rebbe's pshat, I heard this pshat from my Rebbe's, and it is impossible to say such a thing. Chada, number one, he has three problems with his Rebbe's pshat. Chada, number one, t'gzera shavahi, kicha kicha misteyafron. What's the source you could get married with money? It's a gzera shavah, kicha kicha misteyafron. V'chol halomin migzera shava, k'mo shekasim mefurishu l'chol davar. And Rashi says, a halacha that's learned that from Gzeirah Shavah. Here it gets tricky, gentlemen. It gets tricky a little bit. Of course, and we're going to explain it, that's going to be the whole point of this part of the shiur, the second half of the shiur. Rashi's Rebbe says something learned out of Gzeirah Shavah, right? The Yud Gimel Midos Shatara Nedreshba. Now, it's true that you needed some rabbinic input, right? But there are some achloks and actually figures in Rashi and Shas that maybe should have brought for you. Some places where Rashi says the question of the Ein Adam Dun Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzmo, right? Can a rabbi make up his own Gzeirah Shavah? And we have a rule: Ein Adam Dun Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzmo. There's a theory in Rashi. Sometimes Rashi seems to say that anything except for Kal V'Chomer, you need a Masorah for, but Kal V'Chomer you can do on by yourself. But everything else you can. And other places seem to say everything you can do by yourself except Gzeirah Shavah. But either way, Gzeirah Shavah for sure, Ein Adam Dun Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzmo. You can't do it by yourself. You have to have a tradition from Sinai.
But isn't it, even the Shlosh Asurim Midos, there's an argument on what the, I mean.
There's an argument. Some people say it's 13, some people say 32, some people say a whole bunch of things. Correct. But we assume that those rules were given at Sinai. Those rules are given at Sinai. Not every single application necessarily, or some Rishonim say that, well, there was, from Sinai it said there's a Gzeirah Shavah Kicha Kicha, and the rabbis had to apply which Kicha it was. It's not so pashut. It's not such a simple issue. But at any rate, Rashi says about his Rebbe's, you can't say that because if it's Kicha Kings de Avron, that's as if it's written explicitly. That's a din do raisa. It's as if it's written explicitly in the pasuk. One. Two. Vod. Idra bananinu. If you want to tell me that getting married with money is only a marriage in Drabanan, how can you stone a Nara Hamorasa for such a thing? Heach soklan al yado. Right? We know that if a woman is in a Nara Hamorasa, if a woman's engaged, and she's between 12 and 12 and a half, and she's a basula, and she was in the city, not in the field, so the Torah says in Parshas Kisetzi, if she commits adultery within the 1 year between engaged and marriage, within that 1 year, that she commits adultery, so we stone her. So the simple shot of the pasuk is it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter whether it was kesef or anything else. So, heach soklan al yadu u'mivin chul ma'azara shegigasanim. Since eshesish is a chi of kares, in addition to misa, you get chenek for that. If she's not a nara, you get chenek. If she was a nara, then you get. If she's not a nara, you get chenek. And if she was a nara and if she was engaged, you get skila, right? And so we also get kares, which means if you do it by accident, I don't know how you violate eshesish by accident, but. Let's say you thought she wasn't married, whatever it was. You didn't know she was married. That's a good example. You mean a woman you didn't know? Okay. That's very creative, right? But so how could you bring chulin lazara? How could you bring a carbon? How could you bring a carbon if she was only married with money? How could you bring a carbon on shigasan? V'sof sof ki kam shanin shavir abanu b'yosef b'ilas nos al kol chatzor chatel lefarsh moshe v'rashi shakidushin that carbon made carbon. But let me count a laba. So Rashi quotes his child as ready. So here's an interesting point. So right, Rashi just blows. What's that? Crazy to assume Kedusha Kesef Rabban. Crazy, right? Nuts. Who could possibly say such a thing? You know who sounds like he says such a thing? Anybody know?
The Rambam.
Excellent. The Rambam says such a thing. I'll show you the Rambam. Right? Sounds crazy. But the Rambam sounds like he's saying it. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Here it is. Says the Rambam, to get married is a mitzvah. V'likuchen elu mitzvah sasei shel toreim. U'v'echa mishlosh dvar, shlosh dvar mishin nikdis. In one of three ways a woman can get acquired. B'kesef o b'shtar b'bia. Watch this. B'bia o b'shtar min ha-Torah. The Rambam says. With bia and shtar, the marriage is min ha-Torah. U'v'kesef midivrei sofrim. With money, now again, he's contrasting bia b'shtar min ha-Torah. Kesef, midivrei sofrim. V'likuchen elu hein anikrayim kiddushin. And this marriage is what's called kiddushin erisim chamakom. V'isha shenikdis be'echon mishlosh hadvarim elu, he anikdis mekadev eresis. Says the Rambam, are you off your rocker? Bibia, b'shtar min ha-Torah, v'kesef midivrei sofrim. Amar Ram, zeh shibush, u'perish mishubash hitasa. The Rambam says about the Rambam, you're off your rocker. That is a crazy mistake. And it was a mistaken explanation of the Gemara Ksumas and Daf Gimel that led the Rambam to say that. So said my Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schechter, explained That's not what the Rambam meant, and it's not what Rashi's Rebbe's meant. You know what the Rambam meant? You know what Rashi's Rebbe? And he's not the only one. Others say this also.
So the question is, what's Divrei Sofrim?
Okay, what's Divrei Sofrim? Right? I once wrote a paper on that. Right, what's Divrei Sofrim in the Rambam? What is it? Again, Sofrim means Rabbanan, right? The Gemara says, why were the Rabbanan called Sofrim? Because they used to count every letter in the Torah. Nema. Right, so Sofer means the rabbis. But
sometimes they use it with Rabbanim.
Okay, good, true. Sometimes the rabbis use it with, so what does Divrei Sofer mean? So Rabbi Shechter thought, based on, I think it's based on the Kesem Mishnah, I forgot it was based on already, but I heard this talk from him so many times, but so Rabbi Shechter said, it's not what it means. Of course the Rambam understands, and Rashi's Rebbe's perhaps also agreed that Kedushei Kesef is Minat Torah. However, there are two types of Dine Minat Torah. There are some dinim in that Torah that are explicitly written in the Chumash. That's what we'll call Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. And then there's other things in Torah which may actually be midoraisa. They may actually have the strength of doraisa, but they're not mifurash b'kara. They're not explicitly in the Chumash. There could be such thing as a lower level din doraisa, which wasn't written explicitly in the Chumash, but rather it's Torah Shebichsav. You can have Torah Shebaal Peh, which is midoraisa also. Torah Shebaal Peh doesn't mean midorabanan. This Torah Shebaal Peh doesn't mean, and they don't necessarily have to play all the time by the same rules. So Rav Shechter understood that Rashi's Rebbe's read the Gemara in Ksumas to mean as follows. I understand how the rabbis can uproot Kedushei Kesef, because Kedushei Kesef, since it's learned out from Gzeirah Shavah, so it's not Mefurash Mikra, it's not explicitly in the Chumash, so it's Torah Shebaal Peh. So Torah Shebaal Peh, where the rabbis had a little more involvement, still they had a Masorah, you couldn't just make up whatever rule you wanted. In Gzeirah Shavah, you had to in on Dan Me'atzmo, you had to have a tradition for it, you had to have a Masorah. But the rabbis should have more power. Kaddish Babiyah, which is Mefurash Mikra, how could the rabbis uproot something that's Mefurash in the Pasuk? So on that, Gemara says, Eina Chanami, really, they can. And I'd like to show you...
What about Shtar?
It's a great question. Why is Shtar not in the Gemara? Which way does Shtar go? So some Acharonim say Shtar goes along with Kesef, some say Shtar goes along with Bia. Good question. So I'd like to show you some fascinating areas of Halacha where this principle applies. Are there any other differences between something written explicitly in the Chumash versus a Doraisa that's not explicit in the Chumash? So there's a very interesting comment of the Taz. Two Taz, as a matter of fact. The Taz is going back to our old friend, the prohibition of blowing shofar on Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah. Right? We're all familiar with the fact that the Torah says you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the Torah implies even on Shabbos you can blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, in Megillah, in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that, and in Megillah actually, the Gemara says that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos falls on Rosh Hashanah because we're afraid you're going to carry the shofar to the Baki to ask him how to blow shofar. So the rabbis came along and uprooted a Dibri D'Raisa, as Avi said, Yish Koch, we have to come lack a dominant Torah, v'shev al ta'as. So the rabbis can say, sit back and don't do a mitzvah. The rabbis can say. So the Taz is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Ein tokim b'shofar. Right, you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos because we're afraid you're going to carry it in the Rosh Hashanah. So Yontif, you're allowed to carry, right? So you're not going to be gozer on Yontif. That maybe you'll carry it, because you're allowed to carry enough. I mean, tok shehutra letzorach, hutra dami shehutzorach. But why don't we make another? Shema yisak and klei shir. And we know you're not allowed to play a musical instrument on Yontif. Not allowed to play the guitar on Yontif. Why? Because we're afraid you might fix the guitar. Can't play the guitar because we're afraid you might fix it. That's why you can't play a musical instrument on Shabbos. Shema yisak and klei shir. The herech bezeh. So the Mizrahi asks, I guess that's Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, asks the rain. On Yontif Nami Nigzar Shem Yisak Klei Shir, the Herach Pazeh, Ul Basof Lo Tiritz Klo. Ul Anias Daiti, Venir Lanias Daiti, Ul Anias Daiti Nira, De Kol HaShofar Lo Nitan Lashir, El Tkoh Shal Mitzvah, Al Kain Lo Gazru Kain. It says the shofar is not a musical instrument, it's made for halacha, not for music, and therefore the rabbis weren't afraid you were going to fix it. Va'od Nir Lilutaretz, Now listen to what he said. But then the Taz gives another answer. Vodi le Taz. De ein lahem ligzar velakar legamre devar Torah shetzivsa liskoa biyom zeh. Says the Taz, the rabbis don't have the power to uproot, because think about it. If the rabbis would uproot that you can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah ever because it's Anglishir, you'd never have the mitzvah of shofar. Basically, they just took the mitzvah of shofar, just cut that whole thing out of the chumash. Says the Taz, the rabbis don't have such a strength. Venerably the Taz, the ein lahem lingzar v'lakar legamri dvar Torah shetzivsa liskoa v'yom zeh. Bishlom b'shabbos lo misakar legamre. I understand that on Shabbos they're not uprooting it totally. Kevan shebelo Shabbos token beyond. Shabbos is not such a big deal, because okay, some years Rosh Hashanah won't be on Shabbos, be on Yontif. V'nireh shezeu b'chla ma'ase osu siyag l'Torah v'lo la'avar al divrei Torah. Tzehu la'avar al divrei Torah. La'akro l'gamrei. That the rabbis can't do, to totally uproot a din. O'me'ahayi tami nichol mashkos v'yitzel zim shem ram mashkos v'mila d'dach ni Shabbos v'lo gazin v'shem yavar atinu t'aram shesarabim. Right? The Beis Yosef quotes a kasha from the Ram. How could bris milah be docha Shabbos? Why aren't we afraid you're going to carry the baby to the mayol? V'lo kasvina shem yavar tenas v'sarabim. V'tiris l'chalik v'inzel zeb v'doichek. V'lofi mashka safti nicha, says the Taz, according to what I wrote, it makes sense. Da Torah ribsa b'feirish uv'yom hashmini afilu b'shabbos lo ratzu lakar dvar Torah b'feirish mishum gizera b'chayotze b'zeh kasafti b'yorodeya simen kuf yud zayim. We'll see where he says that. So basically, the Taz comes up with the yisod. Now, one of the differences maybe between something that's mefurish in the Torah versus something learned out of a drush in the Torah is, do the rabbis have the power to uproot such things? The Taz teaches us the yisod that way. There's a mitzvah that's mefurish in the Torah. It's explicit in the Torah. The rabbis, they have a lot of power, but they can't totally uproot a mitzvah that's explicit in the Torah. That's number one. And the Taz says something similar. What? It is. Shofar on Shabbos, they can uproot it temporarily. Because Rosh Hashanah also doesn't fall out of Shabbos, and then at least the Pasuk and the Chumash will still be Mekuyim. But to say that you can't blow Shofar on Yontif would be to say that you can never blow Shofar, and that the rabbis don't have the power to do. That's what the Taz says. And in a similar case, you also have from this Tosus and Sukkah, the Taz says the same thing. El, the Kasha Limi, Mash Kasva Tosus, Reparik, Wul of Agazel. There's a Tosus and Sukkah. Here, basically, the Taz and Yoredei here is dealing with the prohibition to sell non-kosher animals. There is a prohibition to traffic in non-kosher meat. The Din of Shulchan Aruch, that a Jew is not supposed to sell, he's not supposed to engage in selling non-kosher animals, pigs, nevelos, or trefis. You're not supposed to sell those kind of things. So, right beforehand over here, the Taz was analyzing, is this an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan? So, the Taz, so there's a machlokas we've shown him whether it's an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan. The conclusion is it's an issur d'rabbanan. It's an issur d'rabbanan that you're not supposed to, if you have a farm, so you're not supposed to traffic in pigs or whatever and sell the pigs. There's an issur d'rabbanan to sell, to be involved in trafficking non-kosher food. So Tosa says, is that real? So the Taz says, is that real? So the Taz asks, is that really true that there's an Issa Durabana to traffic in pig, in non-kosher food, in Nevelos and Trefas, and Issa Durabana? That's against the Tosa and Sukkah. Because there's a Tosa and Sukkah that says, Tosa Pek Wolva Gosa, where it's the Linyan Shvius. Tosa is talking about, because there's also a prohibition to traffic, to do business with produce produced during the Shemitah year. You're not allowed to do business with produce in the Shemitah year. V'zelashonim, v'efshar akonu michaveros, he's analyzing what type of business is forbidden with Shemitah stuff. So he suggests that maybe v'efshar akonu michavero kedei laharviach v'limkar b'yoker, if I buy Shemitah food from you because I want to sell it at a higher price, so that would be the type of transaction that you're not allowed to do. Dahainu nami schor. Well, the parak zayin de shviyas tanan, and the seventh parak is she'ain osin schor in parak shviyas. Velo b'bechoros. You're not allowed to do business with a bechor. Velo b'trumos. Velo b'nevelos u'trefus. So he says, lo b'nevelos u'trefus, lo mishkachas, sheyehu kulam shavim. The only common denominator between doing business with Shemitah and not doing business with nevelos u'trefus, the only place could be, is b'chai gavna. The only example, Tosis is proof. Tosis is proof that included in the prohibition of Schora is to buy at a lower price and sell at a higher price. Tosis is proof to that is that the only common denominator, the only common case of doing business with Shemitah and doing business with Nevelos or Trefus, non-kosher animals, is this kind of case where you bought at a low price and sold at a higher price. The Behedra Shari Rachmana Limkar. Because when it comes to Nevelos or Trefus, the Torah explicitly said if you just have, let's say you have a kosher animal and by accident you shot it, and now it's a Nevelos. So are you allowed to sell? Are you allowed to sell that? The Torah explicitly says you are. What does the Torah say? Right? Lakelav Tashlichon Oso, O Machor Lan, right? It says, O Machor Lan Achri, right? Nevelo Trefa, I forgot the Pasuk. Avi, help me out. O Machor Lan Achri, what comes before that? O Machor Lan Achri. Anyway, there is a pasuk that says Nevelos Atrefos. The pasuk says explicitly you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. Ad Kalashon. So in other words, Tosis proves that the Isser that we're talking about to do business must be to buy at a low price and then sell the same thing at a higher price. Because if it's just to take an animal that you had, you didn't buy it, purchase it for business purposes, you just owned it, and then you're just going to sell a treif animal, that for sure is okay, because the Torah explicitly says, O machar l'nachri, that with the nevel or treif, you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. So when Tosas, the Gemara talks about an Isser, when the Mishnah says you can't do business with Perish Shvius, and you can't do business with nevels or treifos, so it can't be that it's usher, so it has to mean that, oh, what did the Mishnah mean when it said you can't do business with Nevelos Trefus? It means you can't buy it for the purpose of selling it. But if you just happen to have one in your flock that became a Nevelos Trefus, there the Torah explicitly says you can. But says the Taz, V'im Isa de'isr schar b'dvarim t'meim en element rabbanon, if it's true that the whole prohibition of selling and trafficking in non-kosher animals is only rabbinic, what's Tosis proving that it must be permissible to sell a treif animal from the pasuk o machal anachri? Maybe midoraisa, it's mutter to sell, but the rabbis came along and said you can't do it. What? Why is that a proof? Just because the Torah says o machal anachri? If you tell me it's an iser doraisa to do it, so then o machal anachri is a good proof that there can't be an iser doraisa. But if you tell me it's just a later enactment of Midrabanan, maybe it's true that there's a pasuk that says you can do it, but Midrabanan, the rabbis came along and said you can't. Says the Taz. Midrabanan. Ella, Midrabanan asaru, O mastis to cover the banahim shab. Dera, says the Taz, so it appears to me. Mutter, here, Venera, Latari, it seems to me to answer this question. No. The Tosin Ksumas is a very good proof that there cannot be an Issa D'Rabbanan to sell a treif animal. The only Issa D'Rabbanan to sell a treif animal could be if you're going to traffic in it, that you're going to buy a treif animal and sell it at a higher price. That's the only thing that's usher. Don't tell me it's usher D'Rabbanan to just sell a treif animal that grew in your flock and it developed a hole in its lung or something, or you messed up the shechita. Don't tell me you're not allowed to sell it, because there's an explicit pasuk in the Chumash that says you're allowed to. And if there's an explicit pasuk in the Chumash that says you're allowed to sell something, the rabbis can't come along and say that you're not allowed to sell it. Look what he says. De'ein koach b'yachm l'asad davash p'rishat tov b'feresh lahetra. De'ein koach b'yachm l'hachmir. The rabbis can't be strict. El b'makom she'ein bo lo iser v'lo heter mafurish min haTorah. The Taz says the rabbis have no power to uproot something. The only place the rabbis have the power to be machmir is a place where the Torah doesn't explicitly say that something is permissible or something is forbidden. As opposed to a place where the Torah goes out of its way to say, it's permissible. If you mess up the shechita of your animal, you're allowed to sell it to a guy and make money off of it. So the Torah says it befeirush. The That's why, yeah, Tosis has a very good riot from the fact that we find that it's mutter to sell in the veil of the Torah. That proves that there could be no way. So the Rabbanim in that case, so it must be that the only case that the Gemara means is forbidden to do trafficking and trade animals. That's only if you buy the trade animal and sell. But if you just happen to have one home animal that becomes trade, you didn't buy it for the sake of selling it, it just happened to be that way, then you're allowed to. So that's why Tosis has a very good proof that part of the definition of the Isra Torah of selling trade animals, and therefore part of the comparison in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to traffic the Shemitah, does not just include if you happen to have Shemitah grown by you that you can't sell it, but it's referring to the Isra to buy and selling and trafficking in Shemitah stuff. Just to close, there are a number of other explanations in this Gemara. Tenach the Kodesh Bekas, Bekodesh would be a Mayik Lavim. There are a number of other explanations. There's some very brilliant, creative explanations. The Ramban has a very creative explanation. He says like this. The Ramban says, based on what we learned. So far we had three Peshatim in the Kasha. Tenach the Kodesh Bekas, Bekodesh would be a Mayik Lavim. What was the more? Why do more think the rabbis can only uproot money marriage, but they can't uproot beer marriage? So we had one Peshat was Rashi's Peshat who said, well, money you can make into a Matan, but what do you do with the beer? And Tosa said, money the rabbis have the power because Hefker has the Hefker, but how do the rabbis have the power of the beer? And Rashi's Rebbe said, the way Rabbi Shechter understood it, based on the Rambam, the way the Gershom, and the Rashbam, and Baba Basra, so they understood that maybe Kedusha Kesem is the Rabbanim, or it's Torah Shabbal Peh. Torah Shabbal Peh, that the rabbis have the right to approval, but Torah Shabbal Peh, the rabbis don't have the right. So the Ramban has a very creative answer. The Ramban says, it means like this, I understand by money, so there, I understand by money why the guy is Mekadish al-Das Chachamim. When a guy is Mekadish by money, so he has nothing to lose. For sure he's going to be Mekadish al-Das Chachamim, because even if he's not Mekadish al-Das Chachamim, he knows that the rabbis have the power to uproot his marriage anyway because of Hefker Bez and Hefker. But by Bia, where he says, well, maybe the rabbis don't have the rights, the rabbis know there, so the guy, maybe himself, didn't mean to be Mekadish al-Das Chachamim. And the Gemara's answer is no. We assume by all marriage he meant to be al-Das Chachamim. One of the most original answers is, also based on the Gemara later on in Kiddushin. It's a little involved, but it's very, very fascinating. The Gemara later on in Kiddushin says, the Gemara in Ksubis says, gentlemen, that we have a rule called Milsa the less of a Shlichus, less of a Tanai. Milsa the less of a Shlichus, less of a Tanai. What does that mean? That something that I can't appoint a Shliach to do, I can't make a condition on. Like, for instance, can I appoint somebody as a Shliach to put on tefillin for me one day? That would be great, no? Mm-hmm. Shliachus works. Somebody else just, you know, you. I want to take a day off. You put on tefillin. This is Shabagufa, right? So, but can I appoint somebody as a Shliach to marry a woman for me? So that I can, right? I can be it. I want, so hold on. So let's see. That's exactly the point. So the Gemara later on in Ksuba says, Gemara suggests that maybe you can't make a condition in Kedusha Bia, because Kedusha Bia, you can't appoint the Shliach for somebody else to do the Bia. The woman's married to you, you can't do it. By Kesef, I could say somebody else to give her the money and the marriage applies to me, but by Kedusha Bia, you can't do it, because the whole essence of the Kedusha Bia is the relationship that's created. So the Gemara says you can't make a tenai by Kedusha Bia. You can't make a condition. By Kedusha Kesef, you can make a condition. Why? Because what's the idea there? What do you mean? What does it mean? Milsa the less of a Shliach, less of a tenai. I remember walking into Karen Biyabin and Rabbi Blachman saying to me, what does it mean? Milsa the less of a Shliach, less of a tenai. What's the idea? Why? Just because something that you could appoint a Shliach to do, so then you can make a condition of it. The idea is that something that you could appoint a Shliach for, you're the owner of that action. You're the buyer of that mindset. If you could appoint somebody else to do it for you, that means you control that action. So you can say, I only want that action to be chal if it rains tomorrow. So something you can appoint a shliach to do, you could decide how you want it to be chal. But Tzayin, you can't appoint a shleichus, so it's not you. It's not you that's doing the action. It's a relationship between a husband and wife that's created by Bia. So that's why some Achronim want to suggest that's what the Gemara means. I understand that by marriage with money that the rabbis can uproot it. Why? Because how do we say it's working by marriage money? Well, again, you give the girl a ring, you say, Aram, Kadesh, Levit, Mas, Kedas, Moshe, Yisrael, on condition that the rabbis agree. So it makes sense that by money, I can make a condition of that, because just like I can appoint the Shliach to be Mekadesh, a woman with money, so too, if I give the woman money, I could say, I want this marriage to be Chal on the condition that the rabbis agree with. But by Bia, since the whole Bia is a relationship, it's not my action, it's not my Maisa Kenyan, it's just a relationship with the two of us having relations together, that's what causes the marriage to happen. It's not a Maisa Kenyan in that sense. And therefore, I can't appoint the Shliach to do that. If I can't appoint the Shliach to do that, I can't make a condition. So I can't make a condition, so I can't say, I'm only marrying you on the condition that the rabbis agree. Kedas Moshe Yisrael, condition shouldn't work for such a thing. So what's the Gemara's answer? Shavir Rabbanu Bilasa Bilas Nus. Somehow,
that the rabbis can have the power, even if I wasn't Mekadesh Al Da'atam, so the rabbis have the power to uproot the marriage somehow. Anyway, bottom line is there are a lot of different explanations in this fascinating one line. Gemara, next week we will go further to discuss one of my favorite topics. How do you have the right to, when do Takanas Chachamim fall away, and when do they have to keep going on forever and ever, even if the reason for the Takana no longer applies, right? Why don't we go swimming on Shabbos nowadays? Because we're afraid you're going to build a raft. Right? You're going to build a raft from one side of your swimming pool to the other side of your swimming pool. Right? So how does that work? Nowadays such a chashash doesn't exist. Maybe now it should be permissible. How do you figure that out? So we'll discuss with the Shema next week, Shir. That. Yeah.